angular nose. She sighed again and pulled her hair up into ragged pigtails. Hey, if she looked 10 again, maybe kid-loving fairies would come and talk to her. Her leopard coat was too soggy to wear. Kay pulled on Lloyd's leather jacket and checked the pockets. A couple of crumpled receipts, a faux tortoise shell guitar pick, loose change. Kay pulled her hand out as though she'd been stung. There, sticking out of the pad of her finger, was a slim, brown thorn. It just figured that Lloyd would have something annoying in his pocket. She pulled it out and sucked the tiny red dot on her finger. Then, dropping the thorn on her dresser, she went downstairs. Kay's mother was sitting at the kitchen table, flipping through a magazine. A fifth of gin was sitting uncapped on the table, and a cigarette had almost burned itself to ash on a plate beside her. "You going to Janet's?" Ellen asked. "Yeah." "You want some coffee before you go, honey? You don't look so awake." "I'm okay. Grandma's gonna freak when she sees that plate." Kay didn't even bother to mention the gin. Kay's mother leaned back in the wooden chair. "Don't try to mommy your mommy," Ellen said. It was only then that Kay heard the slur in her voice. "Heard from asshole Lloyd?" Ellen shook her head. "Nah. I called a couple of old friends from Sweet Pussy, but they've all gone respectable." Kay laughed. She remembered Liz jumping around the stage in her amazing purple plastic cat suit, like a glam rock Julie Newmar. It was hard to picture what respectable would look like on her. "You going to get together?" "Maybe," Ellen said airily. "Sue and Liz have some little hole-in-the-wall CD store in Red Bank." "That's great," Ellen sighed. "Whatever. I wonder when was the last time either one of them picked up a fucking instrument." Kay shook her head. It was kind of stupid to think that her mother would just give up on going back to the city, but she couldn't help hoping. "Tell Grandma I won't be home late. You come home when you want. I'm your mother." "Thanks, Mom," Kay said, and walked out the door. The wind was blowing gusts of vivid, lipstick-colored leaves across the lawn. Kay took a deep breath of cold air. "Looty Lou," she whispered into the wind. "Spike! Gristle! Please come back. I need you." "I'll just walk over to Janet's. I'll just go over to Janet's, like I said, and then I'll figure out a plan." Janet lived in a trailer park along the main road in back of the gas station her brother had worked at since Kay left for Philadelphia in the first place. She waved to him as she cut through the lot. Corny smiled grudgingly. His hair was a longish brown mop, cut too short in the front and too long in the back. He was wearing a denim jacket and dirty jeans. His skin was red in patches. He was exactly like she remembered him, only taller. Kay walked back behind the little office and bathroom area of the gas station and cut through the overgrown shrubs to the trailer park. The trailers were vehicles in name only. None of them had wheels. And most of them had fences and porches anchoring them with steel and cement to the firmament. She walked up a pebble road toward the trailer. A brown-haired girl about Kay's age was hanging some wash. Behind her, an opulently fat man lounged in a hammock. Flesh oozed through the crisscrossed strings. A trio of dachshunds barked madly as they chased each other along a chain-link fence. Kay came to the screen door and banged on it. "Come on in," Janet called. Kay could see her feet through the screen, flung over the edge of the grungy blue couch, toes dark with polish. Janet's toes had wads of toilet paper stuffed between them so they couldn't quite touch. The door squeaked hideously as she opened it. Rust had stiffened the hinges where the white enamel was chipped off. The main room of the trailer was dark, the windows covered in drapes. Light flickered from three sources: the door, the dim amber kitchen light, and the television. On the screen, two women were screaming at one another in front of a studio audience. One of the women had rhinestone eyebrows. "Wanna do your nails?" Janet asked. "I have a cool blue." Kay shook her head, although Janet probably didn't see her do it. "Can I make some coffee?" "Sure, make me some, too." Janet stretched, pointing her shiny maroon toes as she arched her back. She was wearing a boy's sleeveless undershirt and daisy print cotton panties. I am totally hungover. Where is everybody? Ma and the husband are at the flea market. Corny'll be back from work any time now. You'll never believe what she got me the last time she was out. A half shirt with rhinestone cats on it. I mean, where would you even find something like that? Kay laughed. Janet's mother collected all kinds of kitschy stuff, but especially all things Star Trek. The trailer walls were covered with collectible plates, framed fan art, and shadow-boxed phasers and tricorders. A collection of Spock-related needlepoint throw pillows competed with Janet for couch space. I saw Corny when I walked over. I don't think he recognized me. He's an asshole. All he does is sit in his room and jerk off. He's probably gone nearsighted. Kay took two mugs down from the shelf and filled them with water from the tap. Maybe I just don't look the way I used to. Kay punched the keypad of the microwave and put the cups in. They spun on the greasy glass tray. I guess. Janet flipped through the channels and stopped on VH1. So what happened last night? Kay knew that it would please Janet if she asked. Janet did, in fact, pull herself into a sitting position, and she turned down the sound on the TV. Well, when we got to Fatima's place, Amy was, like, playing with Kenny's hair, rubbing her hands all over it and saying how soft it was. She must have known we were fighting. I'm sorry. It's cool. Janet pressed a Live Long and Prosper pillow to her chest. So anyway, I go up to her and start rubbing my hands through her hair and telling her how nice it felt, really going to town, and Marcus starts laughing. You know that weird, rumbling Buddha belly laugh he has? So fucking loud. What did Kenny do? Kay wondered if Kenny hit on every girl he met. She was embarrassed that she'd let him touch her. Sometimes she wondered if there wasn't some sick part of her that actually wanted popular boys to like her. He had surprisingly gentle hands. Nothing. He loves girls to fight over him. Janet shook her head as if she were talking about an incorrigible child. So she starts calling me psycho and dyke, not backing down at all, saying that she was just talking. Kay nodded. Did you hit her? The microwave beeped, and Kay stirred instant coffee crystals into both cups. A thin white foam formed on the surface. Janet nodded. I totally went after her, but Doe stopped me and Kenny stopped her and Fatima came over and started saying how it was a big misunderstanding and all that, even though she didn't see what happened. She just didn't want her house to get fucked up. Looking down into the cup, she saw the dark, still water of the stream. Her heart was suddenly beating triple time, even though nothing at all was happening. Reuben, the most cool, amazing, dangerous storybook guy ever, said he was going to see her again. Glee made Kay's chest hurt. Are you listening to me? Janet asked. Here's your coffee, Kay said, stirring sugar and powdered cream into Janet's before handing it to her. I'm listening. Well, have you ever seen an uncircumcised dick? Kay shook her head. Me neither. So I say, sure, we'll give you $1 apiece if you show us. And he says, that's only $10. Kay smiled and nodded as Janet spoke, but she still saw Reuben in her mind's eye, drenched with rain and blood, shot nearly through the heart with a gnarled arrow. The hinges screamed their protest as Corny opened the door and stomped into the trailer. He glared at both of them, stalked to the refrigerator, opened it, and then swigged Mountain Dew out of the bottle. What's up your ass? Janet said. A white cat, her belly swollen with kittens, had slunk in when Corny opened the door. Kay dropped her hand to pet the little head. Motherfucker didn't show up this morning. I've been at work since midnight. Kay could see that the patch on the back of his jacket was a devil's head. In his back pocket, the outline of his wallet was connected to a chain that ran to his front belt loop. Mom hates it when you drink out of the bottle, Janet said. So what? Corny said. He took another deliberate swig. You going to tell her about that? How about I tell her how you need your own Roman vomitorium, you fucking bulimic? Shut up, fuckfist! Janet picked up the phone in the kitchen and started punching in numbers. She walked toward her bedroom as she dialed. Corny glanced at Kay. She looked away from him and pulled the heavy, soft cat onto her lap. It purred like a hive of hornets. "You're that girl that believes in fairies, right?" Corny said. Kay shrugged. "I'm Kay." "Want some soda? I didn't backwash into it." He wiped the side of his sleeve against his mouth. Kay shook her head. Something, like a small stone, bounced off her knee. The windows were closed. Kay looked at the ceiling, but there were no small parts hanging off the overhead light. Maybe something from a shelf. When she looked down at the floor near her feet, the only object she saw was an acorn. They were abundant outside this time of year, scattering from the nearby tree all over the lawn. She picked it up and looked toward the window again. Maybe it was open after all. The acorn was light in her hand, and she noticed a tiny strip of white sticking out from under the cap. Corny was dampening a towel and wiping off his face. She didn't think he'd thrown the acorn. She'd been talking to him when she'd felt it hit. Kay pulled lightly on the acorn cap, and it came loose. Inside the nutshell, all the meat was gone, leaving an empty space where a slip of paper was coiled. Kay removed it carefully and read the message written in a pinkish-red ink. "Do not talk to the Black Knight anymore. Tell no one your name. Everything is danger. Gristle is gone. We need your help. Meet you tomorrow night. L.L. and S." What did it mean? Gristle is gone. Gone where? And the Black Knight? Could that be Reuben? She hadn't been talking to anyone else that fit that description. What did it mean that everything was danger? "Kay," Janet said, leaning out of her bedroom. "You want to go to the mall?" Kay fumbled to tuck the acorn into one of her pockets. "I suppose that you are expecting me to take you," Corny said. "You know, most people that go shopping actually have money." "Shut up, geek," Janet said, and ushered Kay into her bedroom. Kay sat down on Janet's bed. Janet's room was full of mismatched furniture, a wooden dresser with glass knobs, a white pressboard vanity, and a dented black metal daybed. The room was as messy as Kay's, with clothes hanging out of open drawers and littering the floor, but the disarray seemed glamorous here. While Kay's clothes were all T-shirts and retro attic finds, Janet had red skirts with feather fringe and shirts that shimmered blue and gold like fish scales. Pots of eyeshadow, glittery barrettes, body sprays, and tubes of hair goo covered her vanity and the top of her dresser. On the walls, posters of bands competed with messages written in multicolor markers on the white walls. "Janet and Kenny, TLF, was written in glitter on the back of Janet's door. She wasn't sure, but she thought she saw traces of some other name underneath Kenny's. "What should I wear?" Janet held up a pink, fuzzy, half-of-a-half sweater that came to just under her breasts. "Will I freeze?" "You need a poodle miniskirt." Kay sat on the bed and leaned back against the pillows. In the pocket of her jacket, the acorn still lay against the hot flesh of her palm, the tiny point indenting her thumb. "What are you going to wear?" "This?" Kay indicated her faded T-shirt and jeans with a sweep of her hand. Janet sighed and made a face. "Do you know how many girls would die to be Asian and blonde?" Kay shook her head morosely. What boys liked about Asian girls was weird. It was all mail-order brides and kung fu at the same time. "How about you wear this?" Janet held up a shiny black shirt that had no back at all. It tied around the neck and waist like a bikini. "No way," Kay said. This time Janet just laughed. They walked into the mall through the movie theater entrance. Boys and girls were gathered in packs on the steps, waiting for rides or having a cigarette before their movie started. Janet walked past them like a goddess, not looking at anybody, perfectly curled hair and glistening lipstick looking as though it was effortless for her. It made Kay wonder where she'd learned this skill with beauty. As a kid, Janet had had a perpetually woolly perm and unlaced sneakers. Kay caught her own reflection in a window and grimaced. Her T-shirt was a bit of thin, faded cloth that even sported a couple of holes from laundromat abuse. Her jeans were hand-me-downs from her mother, and they hung low on her hip bones. forcing her to hitch them up occasionally when she felt like they were going to fall all the way off. "Okay," Janet said. "Want to show me those skills you bragged about?" Kay grinned. One thing that they'd emailed about for a while was the audacity of the things they'd shoplifted. Kay's all-time greatest heist had been her two rats. They might not have been expensive, but pocketing a squirming animal and then keeping it in your pocket was harder than it sounded. She nodded. "Here are Kay's principles of thieving, okay?" Janet folded her arms. "Kidding, right? Listen, no mom-and-pop stores. Just chains or megastores. They can afford it. And the people who work there don't give a shit. Oh, and no places where the employees are actually nice." "I can't believe you have rules." Kay nodded solemnly. "Minimizing my karmic damage." A few hours later, they were sitting on the curb outside the Wiz, divvying up their loot. It wasn't, strictly speaking, far enough from the mall to be entirely safe, but they were feeling untouchable. Kay was trying a new, heavy stick of smoky eyeliner, smearing it thickly under her eyes. Janet was drinking a raspberry smoothie. Kay dug through her jeans for matches and lit a cigarette. Taking a deep breath of smoke, she leaned back and exhaled, letting the smoke whirl up and away. She reached up lazily to change the pattern. It shifted at the touch of her fingers, and she could see figures dancing in it. No, they weren't dancing. They were fighting. Swordsmen dueling in the rising smoke. "How long are you going to be in town?" Janet asked. Kay dropped her hand. She'd forgotten where she was. "I figure at least a couple of months." "It's weird, you know? Us being friends after all this time and you being so far away and all. I've been thinking about last night." "Yeah?" Kay asked warily. "He was hitting on you, wasn't he?" Kay shrugged. There was no way to explain what really happened. She certainly couldn't have explained why she'd let him run his hand up her thigh, why she hadn't minded in the least until she'd suddenly remembered who they were and what was really happening. "A little, I guess. But I honestly fell. I guess I drank too much or something." "How come you were up there in the first place?" Kay grinned easily now. "Just exploring. There was the most outrageously cool old carousel horse. Did you see it? The legs were gone, but the rest of it was perfect. The paint wasn't even badly faded." She sighed wistfully. "Even if I had some way to bring that thing home, there is no way I could drag it from apartment to apartment." Janet sighed. It was obvious this was the sort of reason she could easily believe. Kay took another drag on her cigarette, wondering why that made her angry. This time, the tendrils of smoke reminded her of Reuben's hair, raw silver silk. Thinking about that made her feel even more restless and frustrated. She had to see him again. "Earth to Kay," Janet said. "What were you thinking about?" "Robin," Kay said. That was also something she imagined Janet would easily believe. "He's for real? Honest?" Janet sucked hard on her smoothie, trying to draw out a chunk of frozen raspberry that was clogging the straw. "Don't be a bitch," Kay said without real heat. "Sorry. It's just that it's so unlikely. Meeting a guy in a rainstorm while you're walking home. I mean, what was he doing out there? I wouldn't have even talked to him." "I guess he easily fits into the stranger category," Kay said, smiling. Janet frowned disapprovingly. "Doesn't he even have a car?" "Look, I'm only going to be in town for a couple of months at most. The only thing that matters is that he is cross my heart and hope to die beautiful." Kay waggled her eyebrows suggestively. That at least brought a scandalized gasp. "You slut," Janet crooned. "Do you even know if he likes you?" Kay ground out the stub of her cigarette on the rough cement, smearing ash in a roughly circular line. She didn't want to go over the list of things to recommend her to a fairy knight. There wasn't a single thing she could think of to put on such a list. "He'll like me," she said, hoping that the charm of speaking words aloud would make those words come true. That night, Kay let Isaac and Armageddon run all over the bed, while the CD player blasted Grace Slick singing White Rabbit over and over again. A grown-up, fucked-up Alice suited her. Then she put on Hole and listened to Courtney Love grate out, "I want to be the girl with the most cake. Someday you will ache like I ache." She cracked the window and lit a cigarette, careful to blow the smoke out onto the lawn. The row of dolls watched her impassively from the bookshelf, their tea party propriety almost certainly offended. She caught both rats and put them up there with the dolls to get to know one another. Then she turned back to the bed. Pushing it up against the wall, she dragged the mattress onto the floor. It took up most of the space in the room, but at least her feet would be able to hang comfortably over the edge. And if she covered the box spring with one of her mother's batik throws, it could almost be a couch. Putting out her cigarette and lying back down, she watched the rats crawl over the laps of the dolls. Heedless of velvet riding coats or gold lace princess gowns, to snuffle plastic hair and nibble at delicate porcelain fingers. Finally, her eyes closed, and she drifted softly down into sleep. 4. All day and all night, my desire for you unwinds like a poisonous snake. Samar Sen, Love. That Monday morning, Kay woke up early, got dressed, and pretended to go to school. She had been pretending for the better part of a week now, ever since her grandma had insisted she was going to march down to the school and find out what was taking them so long to enroll her. There was no way to tell her that the transcripts were never coming, so Kay packed a peanut butter and honey sandwich and an orange and went out to kill time. When they had first moved to Philadelphia, she had transferred easily to a new school. But then they'd started moving around, living for 6 months in University City and another 4 in South Philly, and then a couple of weeks in the Museum District. Each time, she either had to find a way to get to her old school or transfer to the new school. About a year back, the confusion had gotten the better of her, and she'd started working full-time at Chow Fat's instead. They needed the money, and aside from that, they needed the free food. Kay kicked a flattened soda can down the street ahead of her. Even she could see that she was going in no good direction, and not just literally. Her grandmother was right about her. She was turning into her mother. No, worse, because she didn't even have an ambition. Her only talents were shoplifting and a couple of cigarette lighting tricks you needed a Zippo to perform. She considered going to Red Bank and trying to find Sue and Liz's store. She had some money, but she still might be able to sneak on the train for the couple of stops. Her biggest problem was that Ellen hadn't said what they'd called the place. It occurred to her that maybe Corny would know. He probably had another hour before the graveyard shift ended and the morning guy came in. If she bought him coffee, he might not mind her hanging around too much. The quick check was mostly empty when she went in and filled 2 large paper cups with hazelnut coffee. She fixed hers with cinnamon and half and half, but she didn't know how he liked his, so she pocketed little packets of sugar and several creamers. The yawning woman didn't even look at Kay as she rang her up. Corny was sitting on the hood of his car, playing chess on a small magnetic board. "Hey!" Kay called. He looked up with a not-so-friendly expression on his face. She held out the coffee, and he just looked confused. "Aren't you supposed to be in school?" he asked finally. "Dropped out," she said. "I'm going to get my GED. He raised his eyebrows. "Do you want the coffee or not?" A car pulled up in front of one of the pumps. He sighed, sliding off the hood of the car. "Put it by the board." She pulled herself onto his car and carefully set down her cup, searching her pockets for the fixings. Then she uncapped hers and took a deep sip. The warmth of the liquid braced her against the cold, wet autumn morning. Corny came back a few minutes later, settling onto the hood. After a considering look, he started pouring sugar into his coffee, stirring it with a filthy pen from his pocket. "Which you are you playing against?" Kay asked, drawing up her knees. He looked up at her with a snort. "Did you come here to fuck with me? Coffee is cheap." "Jeez, I'm just talking. Who's winning?" Corny smirked. He is, for now. Come on, what are you really doing here? People do not visit me. Being social to me is like tempting the apocalypse or something. How come? Corny hopped down again with a groan as another car pulled up in front of the gas pump. She watched him sell a carton of cigarettes and fill the tank. She wondered if the owner would hire a 16-year-old girl. Her last paycheck wasn't going to stretch much further. Corny had worked here when he was younger than she was now. Corny, she said when he came back. Do you know of any small CD stores in Red Bank? Trying to bribe me for a ride? She sighed. Paranoid. I just want to know what it's called. He shrugged, playing out a couple more moves without editorial comment. My comic book store is next to some CD store, but I don't know the name. What comics do you read? Are you saying that you read comics? Corny looked defensive, like maybe she was leading him into some verbal trap. Sure. Batman, Lenore, Too Much Coffee Man. Used to read Sandman, of course. Corny regarded her speculatively for a moment, then finally relented. I used to read X everything, but I read a lot of Japanese stuff now. Like Akira? He shook his head. Nah, girl comics. The ones with the pretty boys and girls. Hey, do you know what Shonenai is? His expression was dubious. I wish I could speak some Japanese, Kay said, shaking her head. Corny smirked. I thought you were Japanese. She shrugged. So says my mom. My dad was part of some local glam goth band my mother worshipped in high school. Very new wave. I never met him. It was a groupie thing. Wild. I guess. A car pulled into the station, but instead of parking in front of the pumps, it stopped next to Corny's car. A dark-skinned kid got out. Nice of you to show up today, Corny said, tossing him a set of the keys. I said I was sorry, man, the kid said. Turning to Kay, Corny said, Where are you going now? Kay shrugged. You want to come with? You could hang out and wait for Janet to get home. She nodded. Sure. They walked over to the trailer together. He switched on the TV and walked back to his room. I'm going to check my mail. Kay nodded and sat down on the couch, only then feeling a little awkward. It was weird to be in Janet's house without Janet. She flipped through the channels, settling on Cartoon Network. After a few minutes, when he didn't return, she went back to his room. Corny's room was as unlike Janet's as a room could be. There were bookshelves on all the walls, filled to overflowing with paperbacks and comics. Corny was sitting at a desk that looked like it could barely hold up the equipment piled on it. Another box of wires and what looked like computer innards was next to his feet. He was tapping on his keyboard and grunted as she came in. Almost done. Kay sat down on the edge of his bed the way she would have if she was in Janet's room and picked up the nearest comic. It was all in Japanese. Blonde hero and heroine. She always thought it was weird there were so many blondes in anime. Bad guy with really, really long black hair and a cool headpiece. A cute fat ball with bat wings fluttering around as a sidekick. She flipped a little further. Hero naked and lashed in the bad guy's bed. She stopped flipping and stared at the picture. The blonde's head was thrown back in either ecstasy or terror as the villain licked one of his nipples. She looked up at Corny and held out the book. Let me guess. This is Shonenai? He shot a glance at her from the computer, but she couldn't miss the smug expression. Yeah. Kay wasn't sure what to say to that, which was probably the point. You like boys? There's a technical term for it, Corny said. Faggot. Although those are mighty pretty boys. Does Janet know? She couldn't understand why he would tell her if Janet didn't know, but certainly Janet would have said something. Janet's emails were summaries of her whole day, boring and full of gossip about people Kay had never met. Yeah, the whole family knows. It's no big deal. One night at dinner I said, Mom, you know the forbidden love that Spock has for Kirk? Well, me too. It was easier for her to understand that way. He sounded like he was daring Kay to say something. "I hope you aren't expecting some kind of reaction," Kay said finally. "Because the only thing that I can think of is that this is the weirdest coming-out story I have ever heard." His face relaxed. Then she started to laugh, and both of them were laughing and looking at the comic and laughing some more. By the time Janet got back from school, Corny was sleeping and Kay was reading a huge pile of kinky comics. "Hey," Janet said, looking surprised to see her sofa occupied. Kay yawned and took a sip from a half-full glass of cherry cola. "Oh, hi. I was hanging out with your brother, and then I figured I'd just wait for you to come home." Janet made a face, dumping her armful of books onto the chair. "You make school look fun. If you're going to drop out, you might as well, I don't know, do something seedy." "Totally. Look, I'm going to go out. I got to meet the guys. You want to come?" Kay stretched and got up. "Sure." The Blue Snapper Diner was open 24 hours, and they didn't care how long you sat in the mirror-lined booths or how little you ordered. Kenny and Doughboy sat at a table with a girl Kay didn't know. She had short black hair, red nails, and thin, drawn-on eyebrows. Doughboy was wearing a short-sleeved team shirt over a long-sleeved black undershirt. The laces of his hiking boots spilled out from under the table. He'd cut his hair since she'd seen him last, and it was shaved along the back and sides. Kenny was wearing his silver jacket over a black t-shirt and looked exactly the same. Scruffy, cute, and totally off-limits. "Sorry I freaked the other night," Kay said, shoving her hands in the pockets of her jeans and hoping no one wanted to talk about it too much.
"What happened?"
the girl asked. Something made a clicking sound as she spoke, and Kay realized that it was the girl's tongue stud tapping against her teeth. Doughboy opened his mouth to make some comment, and Kenny cut him off. "It's cool," he said with a jerk of his chin. "Come on and slide in, ladies." "Kay," Janet said, sitting in the booth next to the girl. "This is Fatima. I emailed you about her. Kay's my friend from Philly."
"Right, sure, hi."
It was Fatima's party she'd missed 2 nights ago, and she had no idea what had been said after she left. Kenny was barely glancing in her direction, but Doughboy was watching her like she might do something weird or funny. Kay wished she'd stayed in the trailer. This was too awkward.
"You're the girl with the mom who's in a band," Fatima said.
"Not anymore," said Kay.
"Is it true that she fucked Lou Zampolis? Janet said she sang backup for Chainsuck."
Kay grimaced. She wondered if all her emails had been relayed like this. "Unfortunately."
"Does that freak you out? I mean, does she, like, screw your boyfriends and shit?"
Kay raised her eyebrows. "I don't date guys in bands." She tried to imagine what Ellen would think of Kenny. It was impossible to picture Ellen meeting Reuben.
"I have this friend, right?" Fatima said. "And her mother and her sister both slept with the guy that got her knocked up. I mean, how Jerry Springer is that?"
"Erin, right?" Janet said. "She's in rehab." The waitress stopped by their table. She was wearing a brown uniform that looked too small on her, and her name tag read Rita.
"Can I get you guys anything?"
"Diet whatever," Janet said.
"Coffee,"
Kay chimed in.
"I want... can I have some disco fries, Rita?"
Doughboy said.
"I'll be back with refills in a minute," the waitress said, smiling guardedly at Dough for using her name.
Kenny turned to get his cigarettes and lighter out of the pocket of his coat, and Kay saw a tattoo on the back of his neck. It was a tribal design of what looked like a scarab. It made her wonder what other tattoos he might have snaking down areas covered by his shirt. Janet would know.
"Anyone want?"
he asked, offering up the pack. "I do," Kay said.
"Whatever you want, you get,"
he tossed back, giving her a cigarette with a smirk that made the heat rise to her face. Janet was talking to Fatima about Aaron's baby, not paying attention to either of them at the moment. Doughboy was picking at the cheese and gravy-covered fries the waitress had plunked down in front of him.
"Want to see a trick?" Kay asked,
suddenly not wanting to back down from the implied challenge in Kenny's voice. "Let me see your lighter." It was silver with an enamel 8-ball medallion soldered to the front of it. He handed it over. Kay had learned this trick from Liz back in her mother's sweet pussy days. Liz had offered to teach it to her, claiming that was a sure way to impress the boys. Kay had had no idea why Liz would want to impress anyone, since she already had Sue, but she'd learned the trick, and it had impressed bartenders, at least. Kay held the metal body of the lighter between the first two fingers of her left hand. Then she flipped it first over and then under each finger, so that the metal shimmered like a minnow. Faster and faster she made the lighter hurtle her fingers. Then she stopped, flicked the lid open, and lit it, all with her right hand resting on the table. She leaned over and generously offered the flame to Kenny's cigarette. Once Kay found the record store, she would have to tell Liz that she had been right. Both the boys looked impressed. Kenny's lopsided grin was an invitation to mischief.
"Cool," Doughboy said. "Want to show me how to do that?"
"Sure," Kay said, lighting her own cigarette and taking a deep breath of bitter smoke. She showed him, doing the trick in slow motion so that he could see how it was done, then letting him try it.
"I gotta get out of the booth for a minute," Kenny said, and she and Doughboy scooted out.
Before she could get back in, Kenny nudged her arm and jerked his head toward the bathrooms.
"Be right back," Kay told Janet, dropping her cigarette into the ashtray.
"Bathroom." Janet must not have noticed anything since she just nodded. Kay walked behind Kenny to the small hallway. Even though she had no idea what he wanted, her cheeks were already warm, and a strange thrill was coiling in her belly. Once they were in the hallway, Kenny turned to her and draped his lean body against the wall.
"What did you do to me?"
Kenny asked, taking a quick drag from his cigarette and rubbing the stubble along his cheekbone with the back of one hand. Kay shook her head.
"Nothing. What do you mean?"
He lowered his voice, speaking with a quiet intensity.
"The other night, the horse. What did you do?"
He paused and looked the other way before continuing.
"I can't stop thinking about you."
Kay was stunned. Honestly, I didn't do anything."
"Well, undo it," he said, scowling.
She struggled for an explanation.
"Sometimes when I daydream, things happen. I was just thinking about riding the horse. I didn't even hear you come in."
Her cheeks felt even hotter when she remembered a theory Sue had once explained about why all young girls want their own ponies. He looked at her as intensely as he had in the attic of the carousel building, bringing his cigarette to his lips again.
"This is fucked," he said, a little desperately. "I mean it. I can't get you out of my head. You're all I think about, all day long."
Kay had no idea what to say to that. He took a step closer to her without seeming to notice.
"You have to do something."
She took a step back, but the wall halted her. She could feel the cool tile against her spine. The payphone to her right blocked her view of the register.
"I'm sorry," she said.
He took another step until his chest was against hers.
"I want you,"
he said urgently. His knee moved between her legs.
"We're in a diner,"
Kay said, grabbing him by the shoulders so that he had to look at her face. He was pale except for a touch of hectic pink in the cheeks. His eyes looked glazed.
"I want to stop wanting you," he said and moved to kiss her.
Kay turned her head so that he got a mouthful of hair, but it didn't seem to bother him. He kissed his way down her throat, biting the skin punishingly, licking the bites with his tongue. One of his hands ran up from her waist to cup her breast while the other threaded through her hair. Her hands were still clenched on his shoulders as she wavered in indecision. She could shove him off. She should shove him off. But her traitorous body was urging her to wait a little longer, clasp him a little closer and see what might happen.
"Guys, I was... what the hell?"
Kenny pushed back from Kay at the sound of Janet's voice. Several strands of long blonde hair were still caught on his hand, shimmering like spiderwebs. He drew himself up.
Don't give me more of your insecure girlfriend bullshit.
Janet had tears in her eyes.
You were kissing her!
Calm the fuck down. Kay fled to the bathroom, locking herself in a stall and sliding into a sitting position on the dirty floor. Her heart was beating so fast, she thought it might beat its way out of her chest. The space was too small for pacing, but she wanted to pace, wanted to do something that would work answers out of her tangled mind. Magic, if there was such a thing, should not work like this. She should not be able to enchant someone she barely knew without even deciding to do it. The delight was the worst part. The part of her that could overlook the guilt and see the poetic justice in making Kenny unable to stop thinking about her freaky self. It would be easy to like him, she thought, cute and cool and wanting her. And unlike an unattainable fairy knight, he was someone she could really have. Taking a deep breath, she left the stall. She went to the sinks and splashed her face with water from the tap. Looking up, she saw her own reflection in the mirror. Faded red chow fat t-shirt spattered with dark droplets of water. Eye makeup smudgy and indistinct. Blonde hair hanging in tangled strands. Something caught her eye as she turned away, though. Approaching the mirror, she looked at her face again, closely. She looked the same as ever. Kay shook her head and walked to the door. For a moment, she had thought that the face she saw in the mirror was green. More coffees were on the table when she got back, and she sipped at the one in front of where she had been sitting. Her cigarette had burned down to ash in the glass tray. Doughboy was telling Kenny about the new car he was restoring, and Janet was glaring at Kay. "Your pardon, Kay," said a voice that was both familiar and strange. There was a moment when Kay just froze. Her mind was screaming that this was impossible. It was against the rules. They never did this. It was one thing to believe in fairies. It was totally another thing if you weren't allowed to even have a choice about it. If they could just walk into your normal life, then they were a part of normal life, and she could no longer separate the two in her head. But Reuben was indeed standing beside their booth. His hair was white as salt under the fluorescent lights and was pulled back in a ponytail. He was wearing a long black wool coat that hid whatever he was wearing underneath, all the way down to his thoroughly modern leather boots. There was so little color in his face that he seemed to be entirely monochromatic, a picture shot in black and white film. "Who's the goth?" Kay heard Doughboy say. "Robin, I think his name is," Janet replied glumly. Reuben raised an eyebrow when he heard that, but he went on. "May I speak with you a moment?" She felt incapable of doing more than nodding her head. Getting up from the booth, she walked with him to an empty table. Neither one sat down. "I came to give you this." Reuben reached into his coat and took out a lump of black cloth from some well-hidden pocket, and smiled, the same smile she remembered from the forest, the one that was just for her. "It's your shirt, back from the dead." "Like you," she said. He nodded slightly. "Indeed." "My friends told me not to talk to you." She hadn't known she was going to say that till it came out of her mouth. The words felt like thorns falling from her tongue. He looked down and took a breath. "Your friends?" "Not, I assume, those friends." His eyes flickered toward the booth, and she shook her head. "Ludi and Spike," she said. His eyes were dark when he looked at her again, and the smile was gone. "I killed a friend of theirs. Perhaps a friend of yours." Around her, people were eating and laughing and talking, but those normal sounds felt as far away and out of place as a laugh track. "You killed Gristle," he nodded. She stared at him, as though things might somehow reshuffle to make sense. "How? Why? Why are you telling me this?" Reuben didn't meet her gaze as he spoke.
Is there some excuse that I could give you that would make it better? Some explanation that you would find acceptable? That's your answer. Don't you even care? You have the shirt. I have done what I came here to do. She grabbed his arm and moved around to face him. You owe me 3 questions. He stiffened, but his face remained blank.
Very well.
Anger surged up in her, a bitter, helpless feeling. Why did you kill Gristle?
My mistress bade me do so. I have little choice in my obedience.
Reuben tucked his long fingers into the pockets of the coat. He spoke matter-of-factly, as though he was bored by his own answers.
Right, Kay said. So, if she told you to jump off a bridge?
Exactly. There was no irony in his tone. Shall I consider that your second question? Kay stopped and took a breath, her face filling with heat. She was so angry that she was shaking.
Why don't you?
She began, and stopped herself. She had to think. Anger was making her careless and stupid. She had one more question, and she was determined that she would use it to piss him off, if nothing else. She thought about the note she'd gotten in the acorn and the warning she'd been given.
What's your full name?
He looked like he would choke on the air he breathed.
What?
That's my third question. What is your full name? She didn't know what she had done, not really. She only knew that she was forcing him to do something he didn't want to do, and that suited her fine.
Reuben's eyes darkened with fury. Wrath, Reuben Rye. Much may the knowledge please you.
Her eyes narrowed.
It's a nice name. You are too clever by half. Too clever for your own good, I think. Kiss my ass, Wrath Reuben Rye.
He grabbed her by the arm before she even saw him move. She raised her hand to ward off the coming blow. He threw her forward. She shrieked. Her hand and knee connected hard with the stone floor. She looked up, half expecting to see the gleam of a sword, but instead he pulled her jeans hard at the waistband and pressed his mouth against the exposed swell of her hip. Time seemed to slow as she slipped on the slick floor, as he rose easily to his feet, as diner patrons stared, as Kenny struggled out from the booth. Reuben stood over her. He spoke tonelessly. That is the nature of servitude, Kay. It is literal-minded and not at all clever. Be careful with your epithets.
Who the fuck do you think you are?
Kenny said, finally there, bending down to help Kay up.
Ask her,
Reuben said, indicating Kay with his chin. Now she knows exactly who I am. He turned and walked out of the diner. Tears welled up in Kay's eyes. Come on, Fatima was saying, although Kay was barely paying attention. Let's take her outside. Just us girls. Fatima and Janet led her outside and sat down on the hood of one of the parked cars. Kay dimly hoped it belonged to one of them as she sat down, wiping tears from her cheeks. Already she'd stopped crying. The tears were more from shock than anything else. Fatima lit a cigarette and handed it to Kay. She took a deep drag, but her throat felt thick and the smoke just made her cough.
I had a boyfriend like that once. Used to beat the shit out of me.
Fatima sat next to Kay and patted her back. Maybe he saw you with Kenny, Janet said without looking at her. She was leaning against a headlight, staring out across the highway at the military base opposite the diner.
I'm sorry, Kay said miserably.
Give her a break, Fatima said. It's not like you didn't do the same thing to me. Janet turned to look at Kay then.
You're not going to get him, you know. He might want to fuck you, but he'd never go out with you.
Kay just nodded, bringing the cigarette to her mouth with trembling hands.
It would have been a better idea, she decided, if she had sworn off boys entirely.
Is that Robin guy going to come after you? Fatima asked.
Kay almost wanted to laugh at her concern. If he did, no one could do anything to stop him. He'd moved faster than Kay could even see. She'd been very stupid not to be afraid of him.
I don't think so, she said finally.
Kenny and Doughboy walked out of the diner, swaggering in tandem toward the girls.
Everything okay? Kenny asked.
Just a couple of bruises, Kay said. No big deal.
Damn, Doughboy said. Between the other night and tonight, you're going to be too paranoid to hang out with us.
Kay tried to smile, but she couldn't help wondering how double-edged those words were.
Want me to drive you home? Kenny asked.
Kay looked up, about to thank him, when Fatima interrupted.
Why don't you take Janet home, and I'll drop off Doe and Kay.
Kenny looked down at the scuffed tops of his Doc Martens and sighed.
Right.
Fatima drove Kay home in relative silence, and she was grateful. The radio was on, and she just sat in the passenger seat and pretended to listen. When Fatima pulled up in front of Kay's grandmother's house, she cut the lights.
I don't know what happened with you and Kenny, Fatima began.
Me neither,
Kay said with a short laugh. The other girl smiled and bit one of her manicured nails.
Look, I don't know about Robin and you or anything, but if you're just looking for some way to piss off your boyfriend, don't do it. Janet really loves Kenny, you know? She's devoted.
Kay opened the door and got out of the car.
Thanks for the ride.
No problem.
Fatima flicked the car lights back on. Kay slammed the door of the blue Honda and went inside. When Kay walked into the kitchen, her mother was on the phone, sitting at the kitchen table with a spiral notebook in front of her. When she saw Kay come in, she gestured toward the stove. There was a pot of cold spaghetti and sausages. Kay took a fork and picked at some of the spaghetti.
So, you think you can get Charlotte?
Her mother said into the phone as she doodled band names on the pad.
All right, call me when you know. Absolutely. Bye, chickadee.
Ellen hung up the phone and Kay looked over at her expectantly. Her mother smiled and took a sip from a mug on the table.
We're going to New York!
Kay just stared.
What? Well, it's not totally definite, but Rhonda wants me to front her new all-girl group, Meow Factory. And she thinks she can get Charlotte Charlie. I said that if they can get her, I'm in. There are so many more clubs in New York.
I don't want to move, Kay said.
We can crash with Rhonda until we can find another place to live. You'll love New York.
I love it here.
We can't impose on my mother forever, Ellen said. Besides, she's a pain in your ass as much as mine.
I applied for a job today. Grandma will be a lot happier once I'm bringing home money. You could join a band around here.
Nothing's set in stone, Ellen said. But I think you should really get used to the idea of New York, honey.
If I'd wanted to stay in Jersey, I would have done it years ago.
100 matchbooks. From 100 bars that her mother played one gig in, or from restaurants that they got a meal in, or from men that they lived with. 100 matchbooks, all on fire. She was on fire, too. A flame in a way she was not sure she understood. Adrenaline turned her fingers to ice, drawing her heat inward to dance in her head, anger and a strange sense of possibility thrumming through her veins. Kay looked around her dark bedroom, lit only by the flickering orange light. The glassy eyes of the dolls danced with flames. The rats curled up on one another in the far corner of the cage. Kay breathed in the sharp smell of sulfur as she struck another matchbook, watching the flame catch across the rows of white match heads, the cardboard covering exploding into fire. She turned the paper in her hands, watching it burn. 5.
I ate the mythology and dreamt. Yusef Komunyaka, Blackberries. Kay awoke to a scratching at the window. The room was dark and the house was silent. Something peered in at her. Tiny black eyes blinked beneath heavy eyebrows, and long ears rose up from either side of a bare head.
Spike?
Kay whispered, crawling up off the mattress on the floor where she had been sleeping. The covers tangled with her legs. He tapped again, eyebrows furrowing. He was smaller than she remembered him and clad only in a thin bark that ran over his waist and down part of his legs. At his elbows, points extended into the shape of thorns. Behind him, she could make out Lutilu's thin form, incandescent against the dark tiles of the roof. Her wings were so translucent as to be nearly invisible. Kay pushed on the window, but it took several tries to get it unstuck from the old, swollen sill. Two white moths fluttered in.
Spike! Kay said. Luti! Where have you been? I've been back for days and days!